Tuesday, December 4th, 2012, it's the Panel Palace Comics Podcast. I'm Leo.
I'm Michael.
And I'm back from Wizard World that happened this weekend. And I just posted the episode that Charles and I did that weekend. I just posted that up on the site, so go check that out. It's a lot of fun.
I plan to listen to it eventually.
Yeah. I met a lot. Like, I met Rob Guillory, and he kind of, like, he recognized me, I guess, from, like, Twitter and email and stuff. Because Charles and I were looking at, like, his original pages and stuff, and I walked down there, you know, because I wanted to get him to sign my, my shoe trade and, you know, some other stuff and, you know, just kind of talk to him. And, like, I walked up, and Charles was like, oh, hey, Leo. And then Rob kind of looked at me, he's like, Leo Johnson? I was like, yeah? He's like, okay. He's like, okay. Cause he had a commission for me too. He's like, Leo Johnson? I was like, yeah. He's like, alright. And so then I was like, hey, can you sign this? And I bought one of the, convention exclusive Secret Agent Poyos with the gold foil Poyo on it.
That's nice.
Yeah, I got him to sign it. And also, that was pretty cool. And then he had free prints that Charles and I didn't know about until Sunday, and we snagged the last two of them. I was happy about that, too. Also, I met the girl that's his coloring assistant, too. I met her. I got her to, like, sign my Poyo issue because she did the colors on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I got her to do that, and, I got both of them to sign the banner, too, because I thought that would be a cool way to kind of, you know, remember the con. I didn't think about it till Sunday, though. So, like, Greg Coppolo and Kevin Eastman and stuff were gone. And so I was kind of disappointed about that. But I met Greg Coppolo, how do you want to say it?
That dude who does Batman.
Yeah, the artist on Batman right now. And instead of shaking my hand when I asked for a picture, because, like, I got him signed, like, my issue of Batman. I got him to, I got him signed the issue of Batman and, blah, blah, blah. And he gave me, like, the panel that, or not the panel, the print that he was, the print that he was giving out for free at Wizard World. And he gave me that one. And, you know, signed that too, and, like, you know, I was like, yeah, I really, really like Batman, like, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, you know, thanks, I appreciate it. And I was like, hey, can I get a picture, you know? He's like, oh, yeah, yeah, come on. And so I went to shake his hand, he was like, no, no, he's like, everybody shakes hands, let me choke you. And I was like, all right, like, choke me, come on, Greg. And so I have a picture of, Greg choking me. So that's pretty cool. I need to put that on the site, too.
Yeah, I mean, why is it not up there already?
Because I, like, just finished uploading the other one. I just haven't had time to mess with this other stuff yet. But, yeah, it was really, really cool. It was a lot of fun. And Rob Guillory did a sweet tooth commission for me. You saw it, didn't you, Michael?
No, I haven't seen it, I don't think.
Here,
I think I know if I saw it. Wait, which one was it? Oh, you're sending it to me now.
Guillory drawing Gus. What do you mean, which one was it?
Oh, yeah, I did see that. I did. I remember you retweeting it.
Yeah.
And it was amazing.
Yeah, I put it on Twitter, and I was like, an awesome Sweet Tooth commission by Rob Guillory, and I was like, what do you think, Jeff Lemire? And he retweeted it, too, so that was cool. I was like, yeah. I told Rob, I was like, yeah, you know, I was like, it's really good. I'm just going to tell Jeff Meyer to suck it. And Rob was like, nah, man. Rob's like, you know, I like his art, you know, but it's kind of, he's like, you know, it's kind of weird, you know, it's kind of dirty, kind of gross, but it's really beautiful at the same time. And I was like, yeah. Which, I mean, is about the best way you can put it.
Yeah.
Because everyone does look a little bit weird, and, you know, in his art style and stuff. Everyone looks a little bit weird, but it's really beautiful at the same time. But, see, what else? What else? I met Bert Duran, the creator of Horus E-Comics. I got his card and stuff. I emailed him to do an interview. I have like a bunch of effing business, not a bunch, I had like half a dozen business cards that I had to go through. But, let's see, who else? One of the guys at the booth next to us, he was doing like a cosplay piece for like a local newspaper or something. And he and I got to talking and like, you know, just, you know, chit chatting and stuff. And, you know, we got talking about how, you know, it's cool to see local creators like Rob and stuff, you know, doing that, blah, 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 blah. And I think he wants to interview me for his newspaper now. I'm pretty sure that's what's going to happen because I emailed him with the links and stuff because he wanted to check out the podcast. He was like, and I'll be contacting you soon about that interview. So I was like, all right, dude, sounds good.
Very, very cool. Yeah. I'm going to the next con that you go to no matter what. I mean, if I have to drop out of school.
Do it. Just do it. Me and Charles were like, I was like, man, I'm pretty sure through a combination of prostitution and couch surfing, you could just... No, actually what it was is, I was like, if you're a really good artist, you know, you could just do commissions at a con and just couch surf and like hobo it up in between every con and just make money at cons so you can keep going to cons and like, you know, eat and stuff.
That'd be so awesome.
Yeah, I know. But you'd have to be a hobo in between cons, so yeah. But I also met the author of Batman and Psychology, Travis Langley. I met him because I was walking by his table, and I remember Mark and Josh, you know, the guys at Aegis Publishing, that, you know, I talked to them a few weeks back. I remember one of the things they said, they're like, you know, check out this book, you know, if you want to be a writer, blah, blah, blah. Like, this will give you, like, this is how you write good villains, because it breaks it down for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I was, you know, I don't plan on being a writer, but whatever. And so I was just walking through, and like, out of the corner of my eye, I saw, like, a little, you know, thing he had standing up that said, you know, Batman and Psychology. And I looked at him, and I was like, you're Batman in Psychology? And he was like, yeah. Kind of, like, looked at me like, you know, kind of weird. But I was like, man, I've heard about that. And I started talking to him, you know, and, you know, we talked about Batman, and, you know, it was really cool. And then I, you know, bought a book from him, and he signed it for me and everything. It was really cool.
Nice.
Yeah, like,
I would have been most excited about Rob Guillory being there.
Yeah, dude.
I loved you.
Yeah, that's who I was most... Man, me and Charles went to... Like, there's this one panel. It was Rob Guillory and Cody Chamberlain, which is another Louisiana-based image, you know, comic maker and everything. He's done some stuff for Image, which is actually really good. I picked up his book as well called Sweets. But, it was a panel with Rob and Cody, and like the theme was, you know, basically breaking in the comics, but still staying in your hometown, you know, not having to move to New York or LA or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, it was like in one of the upstairs convention, you know, the panel rooms. And so Charles and I go upstairs, and we see this gigantic line outside the door, like 150 people. And we're like, oh crap. Like, cause it was about 10 minutes before the panel started.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, crap, is that the line for this? And so we just kind of stand there and look at the line, and like, the door is open, and we're like, crap, like, I guess they're not letting anybody in yet. Then we see these two guys just walk in the room and sit down, and we're like, oh, maybe not. Turns out it's from the Walking Dead panel directly after. And the panel with Rob and Cody ended up having like, maybe 15 people in it, which I thought was really disappointing. Like, because Chew is a great comic. There's way more people in it. Like, in that panel.
Not enough people know about it.
They don't. But one of the things I really thought was funny that Rob was like, you know, we've been mentioned in the New York Times, USA Today, and all sorts of stuff. But he's like, I still can't get them to talk about me in the Lafayette newspaper. He's like, I don't know what it is. They just don't care unless you go to L.A. and then come back. He's like, if you're still here, they just don't care. But I don't know, it was cool. Then after the panel, Charles and I sat, like, Rob, we didn't even have to ask Rob to do the interview. Because, you know, Charles and I both interviewed him before, and he kind of, you know, he knew who we were and stuff. And so Saturday evening, he was just like, hey, if you guys want to, you know, stop by sometime tomorrow, like after my panel or something, and check with me, maybe we can sit down and do a little, you know, record something. And we're like, all right, Rob, like, okay. And so, we sat down with him for about 15, 20 minutes, talked about, you know, 2:30 and everything since that just came out. It was really cool though. Trying to think what else. I don't know. What else? Trying to think. I don't know. That might be it. I don't know. I mean, a lot happened. I just can't remember.
Your life is so much better than mine.
Yep. I have a full-time job, Michael.
I might get one soon. Did I tell you about that?
Yeah. I mean, it's because I don't have time for anything else. So I just have money that I can save up and everything.
And that's really awesome. I just have too much free time and nothing to do with it.
Yep.
And yep. I hate it.
Money.
Yep. Even though I save most of it, it's still not enough.
I make more in one paycheck than you do all month.
You really do.
I know I do. But, I don't know, what else?
Nothing happened to me while you were gone, like, nothing.
Good. I'm glad. Oh, no, I got a, DC Captain Marvel, who I refuse to call Shazam. I got a commission of him from, Ben Bender, the guy that was next to us at the con, who's an awesome artist. And, like, he had a print made of the Max. You probably don't know what that is, but it's a comic series from, I think, early 90s. Mm. It looks pretty much exactly like the Max by the artist of the series. And the guy came up, and he's like, you drew the Max? And Ben's like, yeah, I drew that. And then he, you know, went back to drawing, like, what he's doing. He's like, oh, no, I didn't draw the Max. Like, no, I didn't. No, I'm not that guy. Because the guy thought he was the artist for the series.
Yeah.
And Ben's just like, yeah, I drew it. Thought he's talking about the, you know, print. He's like, no, I'm not. Like, I'm not the series artist. I'm not that guy. Like, no. So now, yeah, I thought it was funny, but
Ben's it's cool. Hilarious.
Maybe I'll include something in the show notes. Possibly, I don't know. But I don't know. What else? What you got, Michael? What you got?
I really have nothing. Like, my life is super boring.
I'm sorry.
I'm coming off my Paxil, or I'm pretty much off it now. And that's the most exciting thing that's happened.
That's always good, though.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just super stressed out about everything right now.
Nice.
So if I start randomly crying or punching things in the middle of this, that's why.
Don't cry, dude. I don't do good.
I'll try not to cry. I don't cry.
No, I forgot about this. Freaking, like, me and Charles are just sitting there chit-chatting, and this girl comes up, and, like, we had been doing, like, terrible sketches, and we had a bunch of them laid out on the table. The girl comes up and kind of looks at the table, and then she looks at me, and, like, she says something. I was like, what? Like, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. And then she starts to tear up a little bit, and she's like, your work got me through a rough period, and then just walked off.
What?
I was like, what just happened? Yeah.
What did you draw?
I had a Poyo sketch, and I think I had, like, I don't know, man.
Maybe it made her think of back home where they raise chickens. I don't know. Cybernetic chickens.
Like, I was looking at Charles, and he's like, dude, weird stuff like that never happens to me when I'm by myself. And
I know you texted me about that, but I must have missed something, because I'm surprised about that all over again.
But, yeah. I didn't know what. And like, she walked by the table a couple more times. Remember she did? I just, like, got up and walked off and went to, like, go look at somebody's stuff, because I wasn't even about to deal with that again.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it like she like I don't, she almost started crying. And I would like I didn't know what was going on. And, I don't know, dude.
That's so great.
It was really weird. I already mentioned the hobo comic, right?
No, I don't think you have.
Oh, because I know we talked in the pre-show.
Okay. We did, but we haven't recorded it.
Okay, so. On Saturday, Charles and I are just sitting there, and this guy rolls by the table. He has a plastic bag, this huge beard, kind of, you know, scruffy-looking hair and everything. And he has a button-down flannel shirt and gray sweatpants just covered in paint. And he walks up and he stops at the table and he looks at me and Charles and he goes, "Hey, you want a comic?" And Charles kind of like sits back in his chair like, "Oh, don't touch me, crazy hobo guy." And I didn't really hear him. I was like, "What?" And he's like, "You want a free comic?" And I was like, "Yeah, I do." And so he, out of his bag, he pulls these two copies of these two comics and hands them to me. And they're like, probably 20 or so pages of photocopied pages out of a notebook that are stapled together, like with 8 or 9 staples. And it's all handwritten with stick people and like hand drawn squares for the panels and everything. And on the front of it was written, "A free sample of the Book of Pages," which is honestly probably the greatest name for a book ever.
It sounds almost like it has prophecies in it or something.
It might. But the first story is called it's Bike Rider Rides Again. And it's about a super intelligent bike and his owner Andrew, and they fight crime in Cincinnati, Ohio. Which Charles and I have already said we're gonna have Tony Moore sign it at Cincinnati Comic Con. Because it'll be in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, let's see, what else? But, like, it... And then the next story was called Positive Living. And the note is like, "Positive Living was recorded in front of a live studio audience." And it's like, set up like a talk show. And there's like two characters that are talking. And then the crowd's reactions are in panels of their own.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really interesting. But the easiest way to sum it up is that stuff was either... like Alan Moore level genius or Alan Moore level crazy. Possibly both.
It sounds kind of awesome. Especially since it came from a guy like a hobo and you really wouldn't expect that much from it.
And in the back was like, "These are two of the 21 stories from the Book of Pages. If you're interested in publishing this, email milked99@yahoo.com. And so Charles and I were like, "Should we email this guy? Like, should we start a Twitter account? A Kickstarter? Like, what should we do? And so if you see a Book of Pages Kickstarter, donate, because it's great. But, it was insane. It was great. It was so great. Oh, man. Freaking hobos, man. And that goes back to Charles saying, none of this crazy stuff ever happened when I'm by myself. I'm not afraid to take free stuff, though. I'm about free stuff.
Of course.
Yeah. I don't know what else. I don't know. I think that's more or less it for the con. Like I said, there's episode 47 is the con episode. So yeah, go listen to it. It's about 2 hours long. It's broken up in like 4 different sections.
I am so sad I didn't get to go.
It was great, dude. I'm telling you.
I wanted to go so bad. I just couldn't afford it.
Okay. Charles, I'm gonna hate you a little bit.
And still, I think he's glad I didn't go, so he'd have you all to himself.
Still pretty sure you're not real, too.
I question that sometimes myself.
Because I mean, he's never seen you as far like he thinks you're not real.
Yeah, I don't blame him.
But, oh, yeah, I don't think we mentioned this on the last show. I don't think it happened by the last show. We got an email from, how the F do you say his last name? Tony DeGarolamo? I butchered that. But he does some web comics like Super Frat and the Web Comic Factory and stuff, and he also writes for Bongo Comics. And he actually reached out to us and wanted to talk to us, which never happens.
Well, I think it happened once, but it was some creepy dude. But this is the first legit one.
You're talking about some creepy dude.
You're that creepy dude that messaged us that one time.
I was kidding, Michael. We've had like 3 or 4 people email us.
I'm talking about the creepy one.
Which one are you talking about?
I'll look it up and show you later.
Okay. So we've had the White Devil guys. We've had Tony. We've had, what's that? Kim at the Darklanders Kickstarter thing and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a few of them, but he's like the first one that's like a legitimate comic professional.
I saw him on the guy who like messaged our number.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, yeah.
I was thinking it was an email, but found no. You on it came in our email, but that's not where he sent it.
Found you on the mobile site.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And then like, had to try to have a conversation with us.
Yeah, I forgot all about that one.
It's creepy.
Yeah, a little bit. All right, anything else? Anything else?
No. I mean, does that cover the con and most of the amazing things that happen? It's a short version.
Yeah, like I said, listen to the episode 47. It's about 2 hours, but Charles and I recorded it Saturday and Sunday of the con. There's the Rob Giller interview there at the end. We talked with Taylor, his coloring assistant, as well. So it was a lot of fun. Let's see. Oh, Michael, what have you been reading this week? What's been going on in the world?
I read it, I actually read them like 2 weeks ago since we didn't do one for Thanksgiving.
We had an episode.
Thanksgiving was like 3. Yeah. I'm so confused about everything right now.
No, it's okay. Obviously, this podcast means nothing to you.
Well, I wasn't going to say anything. Well,
I'll just go email Charles and be done with it.
Well, I read our comic of the week, of course, Storm Dogs.
Yeah.
I read that beforehand.
I really like Storm Dogs. We'll get
to
that.
Yes, we'll talk about that. What else did I read? Great Pacific, but I haven't read it yet.
I really like it. It could be really interesting.
I think I got it because you told me it was good. I listen to you when you tell me things.
The new one comes out this week, actually. So does Storm Dogs number 2.
Okay.
I read a couple indie comics I got at the con. They're mostly, But I did get Sweeps from, Cody Chamberlain, which is really good. I liked it.
Nice.
Yeah,
there's something else I read. I just cannot remember right now.
Yeah, I just ordered the first trade of Super Dinosaur to give to my nephews for Christmas. Because it's a comic about a dinosaur with, like, a robot suit that shoots missiles and stuff. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean,
My cousin would love that. He loves dinosaurs.
Maybe I can get him to like comics young. You know, maybe get him to start reading a little bit, too.
Yeah.
So, and then I was ordering on Amazon too, so I was like, man, I need something that costs like $5 around out, you know, shipping, so I get free shipping. And I was like, oh yeah, Secret Adventure of the Houdini is like $6.99. I got that too. So I'll have that on the way as well. I'm trying to think, what else? Dude, the new Thor is really effing good.
I'm not reading Thor. What is it on now?
It's Thor God of Thunder number 2, because it rebooted with Marvel, yeah. Marvel now. And I listened to an interview that Jim Zub did, like, last week.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he's going to have a Big 2 project that gets announced sometime this month.
Is that all he said about it?
Yeah, he was, because he was talking to the guys, and, like, you know, they were talking about, you know, he was basically saying, like, yeah, you know, because it was in response to his blog post about how creator-owned comics make you, like, zero money.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, well, he was like, yeah, you know, like, I don't make a lot of money doing Skull Kickers, but it lets me do something I love and enjoy, and it's also helped me get other jobs. He's like, you know, I think I do the Pathfinder series for Dynamite, you know, that's a license work. You know, he's worked on some Street Fighter comics with Udon, you know, and all this other stuff, and he does web comics as well. And then he was like, and I'm going to have a big 2 project announced next month. And that's all he said.
Huh.
So, yeah.
So keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, who do you think he'll go? Who do you think it'll be, Marvel or DC?
I honestly don't think I could say because I don't really read either.
I think it'll be DC. Because they've taken notice of a lot of the good indie writers lately.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they've got Rob Venditti going on for Demon Knight starting at issue 16 or something. So that'll be, like, next month or a month after, I think. They've got Justin Jordan's going to start writing Deathstroke, I think. I mean, they've taken notice of some of the indie writers, and they've started bringing them into the fold. So I think it'll be DC. I could be completely wrong, but my money's on DC.
Well, maybe you'll be right.
I'm always right, even when I'm wrong.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I don't know. What else? What else you got, Michael? What else did you read?
Oh, I read The New Chew, which was absolutely depressing.
Yeah. Charles and I did a review of it for episode 47, and we also talked to Rob about it. So go check that out, people. But we can talk about it a little bit, too. So spoilers. What'd you think, Michael? Issue 30.
It ripped my heart out and then ate it.
Yeah.
As they do in Chew. But it was, God.
Yeah, like, you know, Rob's like, we knew it was going to happen. Like, we knew people were going to
We did, so did, I mean, are we just going to talk about it? Like, are we just throwing it out there, or?
I mean, I said spoilers, so.
I don't want to be the one to spoil, though.
Well, okay, well, one of the main characters of recent comics got killed. But she did so in such a way.
She knew it was going to happen.
Yeah,
she knew.
She
did it like.
But see, like, the good point that Rob brought up was we've seen in the past that she, you know, because she can see the future with her abilities. We've seen in the past that she's seen things and then avoided them. So what was it about that situation that she didn't avoid it?
I think she's got something planned. Like,
I mean, was it just completely unavoidable, or was it something had to happen? Or, you know,
I think it's something she knew that if she did that, it was going to lead to the downfall of the bad guy.
I mean, I don't know. I mean,
we'll find out.
I mean, we've got another 3.5-4 years worth of Chew left to go. We'll see.
But the way he did it, it was just like,
yeah, but it was good. It was good. I mean,
it was really good. Like, it was one of the best ways I've ever seen one of the main characters die in anything.
Yeah, and Rob also made a good point during the interview. He was like, you know, usually in comics, the way the female characters go, it's very, you know, it's just terrible. They're getting raped or, you know, whatever. He's like, but she, you know, she went out fighting until the very end. She didn't cry. She didn't beg. She was defiant right up until the very end. She did everything she could to make sure he didn't get anything out of her, which is great. It was such a good issue, though.
So depressing.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, because the last arc, Space Cakes, most of us just been kind of, you know, building the background cast. Well, I mean, most of, like, the last two issues, two arcs have been building the background cast, really.
Mm-hmm.
And
especially this, lately, since Tony's been in a coma.
Yeah, but after this, you know, it's going to be back to Tony. And from what Rob said, he's going to be back at the FDA. Colby's going to be his partner again. Like, you know, things will be more or less how they were before. But I'm sure there's going to it's going to be a little bit darker, a little bit change, you know, there's going to be a little bit more drive, you know, behind Tony, what Tony is trying to do. So it should be really cool to see what happens. Like, when he said Colby and Tony were going to be partners again, I was like, man, I was digging that cyborg lion, too. He's like, no, don't worry.
What was his name, Buttercup?
I can't remember what it was. And he's like, no, he's like, don't worry. He's like, you know, he's not gone forever. Because in the last one, like, there was that two-page spread at the very beginning where it was Poyo versus Mecha Turducken.
Mm-hmm.
Which was the greatest thing in the world. Like, where's Poyo? Oh, he's busy. And is him fighting a giant Mecha Turducken. Poyo does. But yeah, I don't know. God, it was so good. 230 was so good. It was so very powerful. Even though it easily had the saddest moment in all the, you know, the entire series so far.
She was not normally sad at all.
No, well, also up until this point, no major character has died. Like, true. You know, there's been characters that were introduced in the arc or in the issue that died, but none of them were major characters. They were just, you know, they helped move the story along, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, that was a major character and she died. That's been the major character for the last five issues.
Yeah.
And they did it really well, though. And even the last, what, like three pages at the very end when what's his name, Caesar?
Mm-hmm.
When he finally remembers where he knows Tony from. Or he finally remembers where he knows her from.
Too late.
But, it made the issue, which as a whole was really somber and depressing, gave it a little bit of lightheartedness, a little bit of, you know, a little bit of feel good. And it was so good. So good. I really enjoyed that issue.
It was really good.
Yeah, like, they hit it right on the head with that one. No doubt about it.
I mean, there's never been a bad issue. That one was just so good.
Yeah, and, I mean, as great as Layman's writing was, Rob's art was really good, too, because, you know, it was...
It's just perfect.
Like, every the tone was perfect. The art's tone was perfect throughout the issue. And, like, especially the big reveal, because it was just so, it was just so stark, her just sitting there. And even the stuff that was supposed to be a little bit funny in the background, like the Patrick Bateman picture, like, even that just didn't, it wasn't funny like it normally was. It wasn't, you know, it just added to the depression of that. But, yeah. God, I love that issue. Yeah, so go read 230. It was amazing. Go give Rob Guillory and John Layman all your money. Because then Rob will give some of that money to Taylor. And he pays her out of pocket. Yeah, so anything else, Michael?
Let me think. I know I read something else, so I can't even remember now.
Yeah,
I didn't read them until later, later after they came out.
Mm-hmm.
What about you? Maybe I read the same thing.
I didn't read as many.
Yeah, you've been busy.
Oh man! When we met Taylor, we were like, do you have a comic buying page? And she was like, I don't know. And me and Charles were like, we'll make you one. And Charles has actually made her a freaking comic buying page. The last, like, 4 days. That is amazing. That is great.
That's funny.
Yeah. That's effing funny. Yeah. Anyway. I don't know. What? I don't know. I can't. I didn't get to read as many comics last week as I would have liked because I worked all week and I went straight to a con.
You just hadn't had any downtime at all?
Not really. It's like, today is my first day of downtime, and I've been editing the show, podcast, and stuff. Yeah.
Morning Glories. I read that.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one. That was a good one. It's, I mean... Morning Glories. It's so crazy. It's so crazy.
I think that one just confused me further.
Yeah, like, I mean, spoilers, but I guess Hunter's dead now. I mean... I don't know, man. I don't know.
I don't... It's...
It's just, I don't know, it's hard to understand what's going on. I don't know. It's just so crazy. It's so effing crazy.
It's hard to just read that series, like, just read one week and wait till the next one comes out, pick it up and read it without getting completely confused about everything.
Yeah. Like you have to go back and reread every single freaking issue every month, pretty much. Like, I mean, it's so retarded. Like, not retarded, but it's so, I don't know, man. I don't know.
Oh, I read the new Saga. That was a good one. I don't know. I think the thing I liked the most about the new Saga was, like, the dialogue in it. Like, just the way...
Which one is that? Issue 7? Or is it up to issue 8 now?
7? Yeah, 7.
I haven't missed one. Good. Good.
Yeah. And there's one more. Oh, Bedlam. Oh, God, Bedlam.
Bedlam's great. Good, dude.
It is good.
Makes sense for Ray Rothbell. I'm looking forward to, Riley Rothbell's Dias de la Muertos,
mm-hmm.
where it's just going to be like him drawing a bunch of stories inspired by the Day of the Dead, written by a bunch of different people.
I think his art would fit anything to do with death.
Because Riley Rothbell is like a weird, crazy comic book drawn robot, basically.
Pretty much.
Because I was reading somewhere that he's put out like X number of pages in the last like 3 years, or whatever, since he started doing a lot of comic work, and like it's been like it's too many pages. You know what I mean? It's like 3 pages a day or something. It's so much. It's just crazy. Yeah, let me see if I can find it real quick. It was some number, and I was like, man, that's nuts. Like, Riley's just nothing but drawing, apparently. Let's see. Like, okay, since 2009, he's done multiple volumes of Proof, 2 volumes of Cowboy Ninja Viking, 2 volumes of Greenwake, Rebel Blood, Debris, and he worked on, like, Dak and Dark Wolverine, like, he's done a lot. Like, it's ridiculous.
I didn't even know he'd done that much.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, Ryan Rothman's a beast. Yeah, so, I don't know.
I think it's about everything I read.
Yeah, I think it's about everything, too. Like I said, I don't know, I didn't get to read a lot of the comics. You want to go on to new releases for this week?
Let's do it.
Alright. Beatboxing now, that's what I do. Anyway, from Avatar, you got Fashion Beast number 4, Ferals number 11, Stitch number 10, Boom Studios, Freelancers number 1, Second Printing, Hypernaturals number 6. I don't know if I've read the last Hypernaturals or not. I don't know. Dark Horse, you got Hellboy in Hell number 1. Ooh. DC Action Comics number 15, Batwing number 15, Before Watchmen Comedian number 4, Before Watchmen Minutemen number 5, Detective Comics number 15, that's John Layman writing that. See, Human Bomb 1 of 4, Stormwatch number 15, Swamp Thing number 15, IDW, Chasing the Dead, number 2 of 4. Magic the Gathering, Path of Vengeance, number 1. Yeah. Womanthology, Space, number 3 of 5. Image, Alpha Girl, number 5. Blackacre, number 1. Creator-Owned Heroes, number 7. Great Pacific, number 1, second printing, and Great Pacific, number 2. You have Guarding the Globe, number 4, Happy, number 1, third printing, Happy, number 2, second printing, I Love Trouble, number 1, Invincible, number 98, Legend of Luther Strode, number 1. So that should be lots of fun. Let's see. Revival, number 4, second printing, Storm Dogs, number 2 of 6, and the Think Tank trade paperback as well. See, Marvel Comics, All New X-Men number 3, Amazing Spider-Man 699, Avengers number 1, and all the variant covers, because you gotta have variant covers. Avenging Spider-Man number 15, AVX Consequences 1 through 5, second printings of all of them. Deadpool number 3, Hawkeye number 5, Iron Man number 3, Punisher Warzone number 2. See, Space Punisher trade paperback, which is awesome. Thunderbolts number 1. Ultimate Comics, The Ultimates 18.1. See what else. Red 5, Atomic Robo and the Flying She-Devils of the Pacific 5 of 5. Yay, Red, it says it's not verified by Diamond though. I hope it comes out tomorrow.
For the Atomic Robo?
Yeah. I love Atomic Robo. It makes me happy.
I need to read them all, because I really like the few I've read.
Shadow Man number 2, and XO Man of War, Volume 1, trade paperback. I think that's about it.
That's a lot.
Yeah, what are you most excited for?
Probably Luther Strode, Revival, and... Crap, what was the other one? One image ones. Invincible. Hold on, I'm looking. Invincible, yes.
Yeah, I think I was excited for Invincible because I think 98 is when the everyone dies arc starts,
yeah.
Isn't it?
That's what it said in the last one.
Yeah. So, knowing Kirkman, everyone's going to die. there's actually I guess one of the photographers or something for the con. Like I was wearing my Invincible shirt on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
He came up, he's like, hey, can I take a picture? And I was like, yeah, like, whatever. You know, let me take a picture of my shirt. And he was like, thanks. You know, he's like, you don't really see too many people wear anything with Invincible. I was like, yeah, man, I bought it offline. He and I started talking about the comics. And he was like, you know, I like that Kirkman's just not afraid, you know, to do anything. And I was like, yeah, you know, I was like, you know, with everyone dies arc, he really might kill just everyone. Like, he really might kill everyone. You never know.
Yeah.
And then, we talked about, you know, Zandale versus Mark as Invincible and stuff. It was cool. And he made the argument that Invincible is a better written series than Walking Dead. What do you think? Michael.
Hey.
Michael.
Yes.
Do you think...
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I think I lagged out there for a second.
Yeah. Do you think Invincible is a better written series than The Walking Dead, as the photographer guy stated?
Yeah, I think it is.
I do too.
I mean, I love them both so much, but I think Invincible is just the better written one.
Yeah, and like that. I mean, that's what he said. He's like, you know, and it doesn't matter how good it is. It's still not going to have as many readers as The Walking Dead, because The Walking Dead is huge now.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I'm okay with that, because Invincible
makes me sad that some of my favorite series, there's just not that many people that like them as much as there should be.
Yeah, like, I can't remember if that freaking panel, the panel when we recorded, I talked about the panel with Rob, huh? I talked about that when we recorded it before the show. Michael.
Hey, I did it again.
Jesus, Michael.
I don't know what's happening.
But that thing.
Mm-hmm.
The panel. The panel I talked about that Rob was on, was that before the show or during? I can't remember.
I think it was during.
Okay, yeah, I mean, like, there were like 15 people for his panel. That was just sad. That was just sad. Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm most looking forward to Invincible and Luther Strode.
Sometimes I feel like a comic hipster.
But you are, though, Michael.
I don't know. I don't dislike things just because they're mainstream. If I like it, I like it.
You're actually a real hipster, I think.
I just wish the indies had more love than they do.
Michael, do you read a single DC or Marvel book on a monthly basis?
I don't, because they don't interest me.
Have you read any usually of them?
Or the okay, I haven't read any.
Yeah, exactly.
The superhero titles just don't interest me right off the bat.
Batman,
I mean,
is amazing.
I'm planning on picking up Uncanny
X-Force, one of the best most well written comics. Period.
I didn't know that.
Period.
I usually go by, like, if you tell me something's really good, I know.
I've told you Uncanny X-Force is really good like 7 times.
I just don't remember you saying that. I believe you, though.
The first arc of The Incredible Hulk was really good. Not so much for the second. The Thor series is really effing good right now. Wolverine X-Men is good.
Well, I'm planning on getting Hawkeye and Thor.
Hawkeye is amazing.
I like Hawkeye. I like the character Hawkeye. I've read the... what was it? The Avengers, the Ultimates? I read that, the second.
That doesn't really count, though.
I know.
That's the Ultimate Universe. That's completely different.
I'm saying I just like the character of Hawkeye.
That's Marvel Earth 2.
Well, get out of my face, Leo. I didn't know that.
Whatever. I'll stab you. Anyway, I don't know. What else? I guess that's about it for the new comics. Oh, yeah, we skipped Stumble Upon, by the way, because F that, I don't feel like doing it this week. And Michael didn't do show notes till last week. No, I'm just kidding, Michael. I don't care. But no, I just didn't feel like doing it, and I made show notes last night. So, yeah. We'll move on to the webcomic of the week, Michael.
Let's do it.
Have you read any of them yet?
I have not.
Nice. Alright, so, webcomic of the week, Calamities of Nature at calamitiesofnature.com. And so, as the About page says, Calamities of Nature is a comic that focuses on topics of social commentary, science, religion, philosophy, and lots of bacon. It's been online since July 2007, it's been viewed by millions of people, and won a number of accolades. Was a finalist for the best webcomic of 2010 by the Washington Post, finalist in 2008 Webcomic Idol, All sorts of other stuff. But yeah, so it's pretty cool. It as of now though, it stopped being updated in March. Stopped being updated in March of this year. So there's that.
Are they done with it?
Yeah, they're done. But it ran for 5 years, so there's a lot to go through.
That's impressive.
Yeah, there's a lot to go through. But,
just looking through it, I can see right off the bat, it's got some really impressive art for just a webcomic.
Yeah, I mean, I like the guy's art, and, I think in the last blog post or whatever he says in the comic, he's, basically like, hey, you know, I need to focus on my real life some, too. He's like, much as I love doing this, you know, I've got to make sure my, because he's apparently an academic, so I assume he's a professor of some kind. He's like, you know, I can't have it taken time away from my work. You know, I need to be able to do everything I can for my work, which I completely understand. But it's still a fantastic comic, and I love it. And I mean, like I said, a lot of it is, you know, philosophy and religion and whatnot.
Like he sells it in book form.
Yeah, most people do. Most web comics do after a certain amount of support and time. I like this one though, from November 12th, 2008. One of the guys was like, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm putting a bumper sticker on my car." What? The election ended over a week ago. I like to be on the winning side. So there's an Obama sticker from 2008. I thought that was funny. But part of Michael, since he hates Obama.
I don't hate Obama.
Oh, you just hate black people? Yeah.
I like Rob Guillory. He's black.
How do you know? You've never met him in person.
That's true. I don't know that for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he is actually black, though. That's a fact about him. But, and then this one from June 28th, 2010, one of the characters is like, you take a piece of paper and cut it in half over and over. After merely 30 cuts, the paper would be the size of a single atom. After 117 cuts, you would be at a Planck length, the smallest known scale where the fundamental of nature of the universe may be revealed. So the other character goes, why are we spending so much money on the LHC, the Large Hadron Collider? Thought that was funny. I don't know. I enjoy this comic is what it boils down to. Thank you, Tony Pirro, for making this. I've read a lot of it over the last couple years.
I can't believe I've never heard of it until just now.
Yeah.
I can tell he's like a super liberal.
You're a super liberal. Actually, no, you're super, yeah.
One of his shirts is just the Pledge of Allegiance where he marks under God.
It was only added to the Constitution during the Cold War because everyone was like, oh, the commie atheist.
I mean, come on, that's just... I mean, why?
Hey, if the Founding Fathers didn't do it, we don't need it. As far as I'm concerned, F. Eisenhower.
It just seems kind of... I don't know. Kind of tacky. The way he did it. I do like the shirt of the cat that says I can has toxoplasmosis though, like the Laugh Out Loud cats.
Are you looking at lol cats, Michael? Really?
No, it's his shirt.
No, I'm saying
is it lol really cats say, or Laugh Out Loud cats?
It's lol cats.
I don't like lol.
It's LOL cats, lol cats.
I always say Laugh Out Loud.
You're dumb. No.
At least I don't say laughing out loud. I hate it when people say that.
I hate you. Laugh out loud, kid. I hate you. I like the Tycho Brahe shirt. Lost a nose in a duel, arguing about math skills. Metal nose. It's facts about Tycho Brahe. Lost a nose in a duel, arguing about math skills. Metal nose. Had a dwarf named Jep. Pet moose got drunk, fell downstairs and died. Just another badass that's around her. I like that. But I like this comic too. June 30th, 2010. Do you think we can see the future in the stars? Nope, just the past. You know, we don't see.
Yeah, because you're seeing
like
the
that.
Future.
I mean,
you're seeing the past. Some of them are kind of clever.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them are very, you know.
I don't think I would enjoy him as a person.
I would. He's gross.
You're not. No, you're not an a-hole.
We'd still be bros.
I don't think you would like him either.
I know plenty of people that are a-holes.
I don't think you like them, though.
I probably would, just to spite you, if nothing else. I would do it because I would think it was funny, because it would probably bother you a lot, and so I would just think that was funny.
So you'd use him?
No!
Make you the a-hole?
Probably, I don't know. You know how I am, I just do a lot of stuff because I think it's funny.
Yeah, you do.
I don't know why, but I was like, man, that's funny, I'm going to go do that. Because I say a lot of things just because I think they're really funny. I love seeing my African-American coworkers' reaction whenever I say word. This what? Like, what'd you say? I'm like, word. It's like, no. Anyway. Go read Calamities of Nature. That's the point of that story. So, Michael, you want to do the comic of the week?
Okay.
All right, tell us about it.
Okay. Okay, so Storm Dogs.
Written by. Michael, you gotta have this information on hand.
Let me pull it out of my backpack. I got it right here.
Why don't you know this?
Because I forget. You're gonna put me on the spot every time.
I read it one time 3 weeks ago. Come on.
Well, I don't have a super memory.
Come on, Michael. Come on.
I'm also coming off of addictive medication.
Yeah, blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
Excuses.
Written by David Hine.
Drawn by
Doug Braithwaite. Is that a real name?
Yeah, he's black. Who's the colorist?
Ulysses Ariola.
Who's the letterer?
Richard Starkings and Comic Crafts, Jimmy Betancourt.
All right, good deal.
Yeah.
All right, so tell us a little bit about Storm Dogs.
Okay. So, Storm Dogs takes place on this planet called... Oh, it's the first word in the entire thing. Amaranth, there we go. Takes place on Amaranth, which is a planet.
Indeed.
And it's only recently been starting to get colonized, and they're starting to mine it for minerals. It's in the future, pretty much. And
yeah, it's a sci-fi comic.
Yeah, sci-fi. Sci-fis are typically set in the future.
Star Wars was set in the past.
Hey, Leo, why don't you shut up?
I'm just saying. Because Star Wars,
I don't watch
long
Star
ago,
Wars,
in a galaxy far, far away, was set
I
in
don't
past.
Watch Star Wars, Leo.
I've never seen any of the movies all the way through. I just know that.
I've only seen the last three, which I know is terrible. But I want to see the older ones. Anyways, back to what we were talking about. So these miners are – the miners on the planet are being, attacked by some unknown things. They don't know what's doing it. They just know they're winding up dead. So they call in – huh?
I said indeed.
Yes, okay. You're agreeing. So they call in some investigators And they fly in on their fancy ship, and they talk about the locals and how they have to use a certain level of technology, and they can't be too technologically advanced in front of them. And so they basically have like a form of the internet in their heads that they can control and access data, which is kind of awesome. So they cut that off, and that's basically like cutting off their lifeline to the world. It's how they make it seem.
Yeah.
And they go and they meet with the miners and something. I mean, and nothing seems to be going right because then starts to rain, and the rain in Storm Dogs will kill you very quickly. It's like acid rain, isn't it?
It looks like it's some kind of weird energy charge, because later on, it's like lightning kind of like coming out of that dude's face and stuff. It's crazy.
It will kill you though. That's the point here. You will die if you get rained on. So it actually cuts to on the highway where some of the miners are getting attacked by just the local fauna. And
they start. Are you sure it's not flora?
I'm positive.
Okay. Making sure.
I passed biology. May fail chemistry, but I passed biology.
Alright, continue.
Okay, so then rain starts to leak in. You see it like melts their skin basically when it touches on. One of the crazy dudes who's basically strung out on drugs gets out of the thing. Although, what is that? It's like a transport vehicle or something.
Mm-hmm.
He gets out. He runs away. Everybody else gets killed, eaten, whatnot. Rained on. Skin melts. It's a whole terrible situation they're going through.
Yeah, it's never fun.
Yeah. So later, the investigators show up and find the bodies, and they're like, whoa, what went on here? And then the guy who actually got away later walks up, and rain got in his suit or something. And he's like, I'm not sure what happened to him. There's like lightning shooting out of
his face. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Some kind of weird energy rain or something.
Is it energy? Is that like his steam from his flesh coming off?
I'm pretty sure it's involved with the rain. Pretty sure.
It basically steam cooks him, though, in his suit, and they open him up, and his organs are just, like, laying there and all melted. It's kind of nasty. But also kind of awesome. And then they look up, and the locals are there, and they're called the Illui.
Okay. I was about to ask you that.
And they're like red goat people.
What were your first impressions of Storm Dogs?
I think the most interesting thing about me was their technology. Like, I look forward to seeing what kind of technology they have, and that's the big thing about sci-fi that gets me. I don't read a lot of sci-fi, but I like to see what kind of technology other people can dream up and imagine.
See, I'm more in it for the aliens. I like seeing convincing, yeah. Elaborate,
big bulbous green-headed aliens.
See, I just like seeing aliens that are believable.
Yeah.
I like seeing that. Which the big thing, my big beef with a lot of sci-fi is that, all the aliens are either bipedal or quadrupedal. I mean, just because life on Earth evolved like that doesn't mean life on an alien planet would. I think it can't be tripedal or something, you know what I mean?
I feel you.
I'm just saying, bro.
And you actually got to read an advanced copy of this for a review, didn't you?
Yeah, like 3-4 weeks ago.
So have you only read the first one?
Yeah, I have. Only read the first one. But, my most immediate reaction was this is a lot like Avatar. Have you seen Avatar?
I have seen Avatar.
did that impression immediately strike you as well?
No, I didn't really feel like it was Avatar. I mean,
really?
Yeah. I mean, really? I know.
Because a planet with mining and.
Yeah, but and, it didn't have the same feel to it to me.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's a different general premise, but.
Well, the mood was completely different to me. I know it has a lot of similarities because it does.
And like the Elohi and the Navi, yeah, mm-hmm.
they do look similar.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care if it is another Avatar. I don't care if it is an Avatar clone. It looks like it's gonna be freaking good.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like it's gonna be really good, and I like that. Like I look forward to them solving the crime and stuff.
Do you know, is it supposed to be like a continuous thing, or is it only going to go a few issues?
Six issues? Yep. I really enjoyed David Hines writing, too, on the first issue. I really liked it. I thought he did a very good job with the writing. What did you think about Doug Braithwaite's art?
I like it. I mean, there's a lot of detail to it, and he packs in a whole lot of stuff in just a few.
Yeah, well, it is really detailed, and I really enjoy it. But I think a lot of credit also needs to go to the colorist too,
because
they colored the heck out of that book.
So there's so many shades and different colors, and
it looks really good. The colors on that book. I'm a big fan of that colorist. They can be right there with Jordi Belair as my favorite colorist. Because I like Jordi Belair. She works on a lot of my favorite books. Such as The Manhattan Project.
Which actually helped me answer a question at trivia tonight.
Oh, yeah?
They asked who quoted something. I'm like, Einstein. Read that in the beginning of Manhattan Project.
Who quoted something?
Well, I forgot the quote, so who quoted, and then something is where the quote is.
Well, what?
I forgot exactly which quote it was, but.
What? I mean, I need to know.
I'm sorry I'm confusing you.
I need to know what quote it is, like a general idea of what the quote was.
Hold on, let me look it up. I could probably find it. Google.
Are you sure it's not the Oppenheimer quote?
I'm sure. I knew. No, I would know that one too. Because I read the quotes. And I commit them to memory. Hold on.
But.
Okay, here it is. Okay. Any intelligent fool can make things bigger and more complex. It takes a touch of genius and a lot of courage to move in the opposite direction. I think that was it.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, that sounds like something Einstein would say. Because I read those in the Manhattan Project. And it made me feel good.
Yeah. That's cool. But, what did you say the colors was? Ulysses Areola or something?
Yeah, that's a really awesome name.
You know what an areola is, don't you?
I know I've heard it before, but I don't remember what it means. Tell me. Learn me, Leo.
One sec, bro.
Please tell me it's something sexual.
One second.
Wikipedia. Open. Oh, that's. I'm not supposed to look at those.
That's what an areola is.
All right then.
Is it still a cool name?
It's a different kind of cool.
Okay. All right. If he was in America, I'm sure he would have got Ulysses Areola. That doesn't sound very American. Yeah. Doesn't sound like an English American name or anything.
No.
But so if he was here, he probably got made fun of a lot in middle school. I'm just gonna go out and say.
Huh. I mean, I've heard that word before, but I did not know what that meant.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just not, I just don't look up things like that, Leo. Maybe I'm not that kind of person.
I mean, you should know what that is if you're 21. I feel like. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm only...
I haven't taken anatomy or... I don't know. I really don't know where I would have heard that. Because I don't have friends. I don't
talk to books.
People. What book would I be reading that talks about that?
I don't know. They talk about it. I don't know. Anyway. Or, you know, then there's hariolas, which are what men have. Because they're hairy.
Gross.
Yeah. That's a term coined by the guys over at Bent Chat, which is one of the podcasts I listen to. That was actually the name of, like, one of their episodes, too. Hariolas. But anyway, I don't know what else, or anything else you want to say about it?
It was really good. Now I want to read the next one.
Yeah, me too. I'm looking forward to the one tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it. Anything else?
What?
I said anything else?
Oh. Were you yawning when you said that?
Yeah. It's midnight. I'm tired.
Yeah, I am too. I need to go to bed on time like I've been doing.
Yeah. Alright, so anything else you want to say before we rate it?
I think that's about it.
Alright, what's your rating?
I think I'll give it an 8. I really like it. Like, the art, colors, like you said, are really awesome.
Yeah, it's fantastic coloring.
It's still, like, opening up, of course, and just introduce the aliens and... Well, actually, the people are the aliens to them, since it's their planet, but...
Yeah, but they're also... Assuming they're Americans, that doesn't matter.
Yeah, true.
In another 20 years of life... They took our derbs! But anyway,
And I'm really intrigued by the technology they talk about. Like, I want to see more of that.
See, I'm more worried about what the aliens are doing and how they interact. Like, I'm more worried about the aliens and their, like,
yeah,
society and everything.
I want to see that, too, of course. But, I mean, yeah. I don't know. I feel like technology is going to have a little bit to do with it because they, I don't know, they're really secretive about it when it comes to the more primitive societies.
I mean, yeah, because, I mean, it's not like we should go back and give freaking people in the Middle Ages a nuke, you know?
Yeah, but, I mean, they're not really using weaponry. They're just, like, brain internet. Why wouldn't they want them to know that?
Because they'll think it's, like, voices talking to them or something. Like, I mean, you can't give a primitive culture or something like that. You just can't do that. That'd be like if we went back and gave, like, the freaking Aztecs the internet or something.
They probably put all kinds of dirty stuff on there.
No, they'd be like, this is stuff from the gods. Like, that's what this is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, F My Life or something, they'd be like, this is Quetzalcoatl talking to me. Like, this is what's going on. But anyway, I give it a 9. I'm digging David Hines' writing. I'm really loving Doug Braithwaite's art, and Ulysses Areola, despite his ridiculous name, is coloring the mess out of that book.
Well, despite what his last name means, I think it has an awesome sound to it.
You would. You would. That's what you should change your last name to. Areola. Michael Areola.
I don't think anyone would marry me if I did that. I mean, I'm already having trouble.
I was about to say, because they will now? Like, I mean, I don't know.
That's mean, Leo.
Whatever, dude. Whatever. What do you think we talked about all weekend, me and Charles? We've made fun of you.
I mean, I assumed you would. I would make fun of me, too.
Good. That's what happened all weekend. That's all that happened, actually. But, all right, wait a second. I don't know. What do you? Oh man. All right. What do you think, Michael? Or I don't know. You got anything else you want to say?
Not really. I mean, really interested in it. It grabbed my interest, which is what the first issue is supposed to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm ready. Oh, I see what you did now on the revision history of the document. I see what you did now.
Dad, do what I do.
It says because I can go back and look at the history of everything.
I honestly don't remember changing anything.
It says on the first line where it's like intro, we talk, and other stuff.
Uh-huh.
Says everything after the I was deleted and then put back.
I do not remember doing that.
I think you're lying to me, Michael. I think you're lying to me.
I do not remember doing that.
I think you're lying.
Maybe I did it and then just subconsciously put it back. I don't know.
I think you're lying to me. Why would you lie to me? Don't understand.
Because I hate you.
Oh, okay.
You and Charles going without me. I really wish I could have gone to that. Sounds like it was awesome.
It was awesome.
I'm going to the next one.
Rob Guillory knows who I am. Like, we bothered him so much. We bothered him so much. We were down there so often, just, like, talking to him and looking at stuff. Yeah.
I'm so jealous.
And then, Like at one point we were walking down there and like he saw us out of the corner of his eyes and like you could tell and just like looking on his face and it's like, these guys again? Really? Because we were going down to talk to Cody and he was just like, man. But nah, he was cool though. He was cool. So yeah, I don't know. Unless you got anything else, that's all I got.
I think that's it for me.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, thank you for listening, people. Like I said, if you want to know more about Wizard World and what all happened there and everything, go listen to episode 47. And yeah. So thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Check back next week. We'll have another episode. Blah 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 blah. Yeah. Anyway, thank you. We appreciate it. So until next week, I'm Leo.
I'm Michael.
And that's it for us.